Welcome back to episode 7 of the Writing and Publishing Erotica podcast. I am H.K. Kiting.
And I am To Be Determined. And we're your hosts of the show.
This is the podcast where we talk about writing and publishing in general and include the occasional tidbit about erotica specifically. If you haven't visited our blog, go to sexyfic.com and take a look. That's sexyfic.com. All our books are listed there, as well as past episodes of this show and a little bit of free flash fiction that we put out there. And there's also a notification list sign-up form that lets us drop you an email whenever we have a new book or an episode out there for you to get.
And if you find this podcast useful or helpful or just interesting, then be sure to leave us a review on iTunes.
And now episode 7. I think we should start it out with your big news. You've had a gender change.
Yeah, quickest, easiest one ever, with no knives or anything. Yeah, as I said back in episode 1, my books are listed under Athena Chills. And that may be one of the dumbest decisions I've ever made. I had heard for a very, very long time that gay books targeted to gay men sell better if they're written by women, because women are the primary audience for those. And I'm not sure that that's necessarily wrong, but it sure makes it interesting trying to market that way. So this past week I started going by Dean Chills, DeanChills. Easier name to remember, and believe it or not, it doesn't sound like I'm a female. So yeah, quickest, easiest gender change ever. And now if you've ever tried to change your name on any of these publishing websites, for the most part it's very easy. Amazon, KDP, you just go through and change your author's name, it's no big deal. Nook, same thing. Kobo, same thing. Apple, that makes almost everything in the world more difficult? No, same thing. The only place where it's really difficult is CreateSpace. And I'm finding that I don't have a solution for that one yet. They won't let you change the author name without unpublishing, getting a new ISBN, and republishing. And if I get a new ISBN, then I have to republish everywhere else. So I'm Dean Chills in every ebook format imaginable, and I'm Athena Chills in paperback until I come up with a better solution. If anybody else has done this and you've got a better idea, send me an email, deanchills@gmail.com. Okay, let's get on with episode 7 now, and
let's try something different. We'll check the mailbag first.
And why are we doing that? Because we actually have email this week. And here's an email we got from a listener just a couple days ago. Hi guys, I've just started listening to your podcast, and wow, it's great. I'm powering through the episodes one after the other. My pen name is Suzuki Sinclair.
Which is an awesome pen name, by the way.
It really is. And I'm soon to put up my own erotica as an ebook. What I'd really love to hear about, whether that's in a show already or you're able to take time to put your thoughts in an email, is strategies to optimize sales. I've listened to some other self-publishing podcasts and learned about free books and the importance of professional covers and keywords, and I was wondering if there was anything you'd learned about specific to erotica that boosted sales. Thanks and keep up the great work. All the best, Suzuki. And that is a very cool name, and it sounds like you don't have any books out yet, but you will. We'll be sure to watch for Suzuki Sinclair.
Definitely. We'll talk about free books another time. In general, though, we have a pretty low opinion of free books. Pretty much the opinion, if you're going to put all that work into a book, you know, go ahead and charge something for it.
There are exceptions to that once in a while where free books are appropriate, but very rarely. Now, you also mentioned keywords and cover design, and those we'll talk about another time as well, but both are very important. Now, you asked specifically about tips for erotica. Sales strategies for erotica is different from that of the latest sci-fi or crime thriller.
Your blurbs and description and keywords have to be a little more careful, both as a warning to people that aren't looking for adult content and as an attraction for people that are looking for the adult content. Spell it out very clearly, what you've got in there, what genre, is it straight, is it gay, is there kink involved, is there specific sex acts involved. Specific races or anything else that might be targeted to a specific audience. One thing that they say with publishing, first thing, is very common sense. You write a book, tell everybody you know, your friends, your family, you want everybody you know to buy a book. Might have to be a little more careful about that with an erotica. But if you've got open-minded friends, go ahead and tell them about it.
Yeah. Okay, going back to the first point, blurbs and description, you have to be more careful with that. That's very true. You do need to let everyone know what they're getting into before they buy the book, whether they want what you're selling or not. But the trick is, some places will reject your book based on the description alone. If you have words like oral sex, anal sex, masturbation, words like that, I mean, I just said it. Oops. Now I'm in trouble.
Yeah, you are.
But no, on Amazon, in the descriptions, you've got to be careful. There are places that will not allow you to post those words in book descriptions.
But it's usually no big deal. They'll just give you a warning and say, hey, that's a little too much, and just revise it, tone it down if you need to.
The only place I've run into trouble with that is Kobo, but I have heard stories where Amazon has rejected books for the description alone. And there are rules about what you can and can't publish it pretty much everywhere. Child stories, you know, animals, bestiality, stuff like that. And you can read the rules on the site yourself. But there are words that will get you in trouble just in your description. And as Henry said, sometimes you can't sell to your friends. I know a few people who are very much into the things I write about, and I have told them about it. But most people have no idea that I even write erotica. And that your mileage may vary depending on what you write and how you write it and who your friends are and how liberal or repressed they are, if you want to use that word. So that's just something to consider. It's easy to sell books to your friends if you're selling, you know, how-to books or something like that. If you're selling books on, you know, tying someone up and, you know, smothering them to unconsciousness, that probably isn't going to fly with your mother. You may or may not even be using your real name. So unless you want your friends to know what your pen name is, you can't sell them to them. I've heard stories about people who had to leave their church, believe it or not, because they told all their friends at church they just had released this kinky new erotica. And believe it or not, that didn't fly real well. And I just cannot believe going to church, telling your friends that you wrote a porno book, and not expecting some backlash from that, but it's a true story.
But as far as using your pseudonym, your pen name, that's very easy across all the platforms to use. I've got HKKiting at Gmail, I've got HKKiting on Twitter, I've got HKKiting on a few other sites. It's very easy to just set up an account and stay consistent with that pen name all through the publicity that you're trying to do.
Yeah, a lot of people are concerned that might be considered lying or cheating in some way, but it's not. All the publishing sites realize that people use pen names and it's perfectly okay. You go to Amazon or any of these places, you set up an account under your real name, and it's got to be a real name because you've got to give them banking information for your payment and stuff like that. But when you publish your books, you put in your pen name and they're fine with that. It works quite well.
And the public will only see your pen name.
Yeah, it's very safe. We talked about the descriptions and blurbs and how careful you had to be with those, but there are restrictions on what you can have in your cover images also. Again, on the message boards, just this past week, I saw a story where a couple of people had been... Book 3 of a Book 5 series had been banned because the cover showed a topless woman. And actually, they didn't. Her boobs were covered over with this sort of translucent background thing. You couldn't really see anything. But she was obviously really naked under there, and they didn't like it because it was too suggestive. Again, this wasn't me, it was someone else. But you got to be careful what you show on your cover. Topless women, any, you know, below-the-belt nudity is not going to be good. Even hinted nudity. You know, a woman with her hands cupped over her breasts. No shirt, no top or anything, just her hands hiding all the important parts is not acceptable on Amazon. So you got to be real careful with the rules of what is and is not allowed with your covers. Which brings up another story from the same message boards. I recommend kboards.com if you'd like some more information about publishing. They have a lot of good author forums on there. But there was another story I was reading just recently. This author posted a picture. I don't remember what the name was. I don't remember the author. But it was some sort of supernatural romance. And she had this picture of a pentagram, you know, the upside down star. And it was some supernatural story. And she put it up there, and everyone complained they didn't think it was a romance book. They didn't think it was an erotic book. They thought it was some sort of, you know, demon hunter story or something. So then she changed it and put on a bare-chested man with the same little symbol tattooed on his chest, and it really took off. The picture made the difference. People expect bare-chested men, sexy legs, things like that on the cover of romance and erotica books. If your picture does not look romantic, if your picture does not look sexy, you don't have to do those things, but it does impact sales.
Going back to that, was that K, the letter K, boards?
Oh, yeah, it's K-B-O-A-R-D-S, K-boards. It was originally designed as Kindle boards, where people could talk about books for their Kindle, but they have a very good author forum on there. A lot of people on there just comparing covers and stories. It's a really interesting place to check out, kboards.com.
Build your standard platform.
Okay, this is one you hear from a lot of people on other publishing podcasts. There's a lot of good ones out there. But a platform is basically a term that came along since social media was invented. And it involves getting yourself out there and publicly known on Twitter, Google+, Tumblr, Facebook, Pinterest, your own blog, and others. It's sort of a home base that you can use to do your own publicity, your own public information about your books.
And again, you can keep the whole thing under your pen name if you want. I actually have everything set up under pen name. I have another pseudonym, which is my real name, where I use for publicity for some other things.
I like how you call your real name your pseudonym.
Yeah.
You spend more time as H.K. Kiting and leaving your secret identity alone. But yeah, you can set up your own account under whatever name you want, under Twitter, Google+, Tumblr, Facebook, Pinterest, your own blog, and other. Some people have multiple logins for these different sites. And you've got to be active on them. If you don't use Twitter, well, you probably should be using Twitter, and not just for promotional stuff, for everything. But anyway, that's standard knowledge for, you know, any kind of publishing. That's not anything new. But there is some specific information. You wanted erotic-based publicity information, and there's some additional stuff you could do as an erotica author.
Such as Tumblr. Tumblr is a great resource that I use. I have a Tumblr site set up, and basically how it works, I regularly, see, my books are mainly gay. They mainly deal with kink, breath control, bondage. So I share a lot of posts on Tumblr with photos of that type of stuff. Get a bunch of followers, people that have that interest in common. And then once in a while I'll throw in, hey, I just wrote this book that has this topic on there. Maybe you should check that out too. And some people do.
To summarize then, you're posting a lot of things that you didn't necessarily make. You're just pointing people to interesting stuff that they would like for their entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And every 10 posts or 20 posts, you put in a little plug for your own stuff.
Yeah, and I keep it in the genre that my books are generally in.
Maybe 10 to 1, 20 to 1?
I'm coming out with a book every couple weeks, and generally it's just when I come out with a new book. So I'll have 5 to 10 posts a day. And then once every 2 weeks or so, I'll throw in a post about one of my books.
So it's a whole lot more than 20 to 1.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Okay, yeah, the point I'm making here is don't just do this just to promote your books and nothing else. You'll quickly be deleted as a spammer, or the people that do follow you will quickly get tired of seeing it and drop off real quick.
Absolutely. Twitter basically works the same way. Tweet about interesting things that are, you know, at least keep them kind of related to the field or to your genre. And then, you know, throw in a plug for your book. Also, retweet about other people's books. Hopefully they'll return the favor. When you tweet about yours, they'll retweet about yours as well. Make it kind of a network thing out there.
Doesn't hurt. Continuing on with the idea of building your erotic platform, you should also seek out message boards and websites that are specifically catered toward your fetish or kink that you write about. If, like Henry said, you write about breath control, you would look for some kind of breath control website. If you're into whipping or spanking or fire play or something like that, search out a website that deals with whipping, spanking, or fire play. Make some on-topic posts about those topics so people don't think you're just there to sell your stuff. But don't be afraid to plug your book once in a while when it's appropriate. Very targeted marketing.
There's a good generic site out there, FetLife.com, FetLife.com. Just about any kink that you can think of is on that site. And it's basically a message board, forum type thing. There's a little bit of photo sharing, a little bit of personals going on, but that's a great site to specifically target and find people that are into...
Whatever you're into, they've got something. That site, believe me, I've learned a lot of good stuff from that site.
Yeah.
They've got fetishes and kinks for things you wouldn't imagine.
Which surprises me, because I can imagine a lot, and I've seen a lot online and in person, and I still come across something once in a while on the web that goes, where I go, wow, that's... I didn't even think of that before.
Yeah, so look out for specific sites that cater to the things you're interested in. Whatever that may be, there's a site out there for it. Was it Rule 34 or something like that?
If there's some way to make it sexual, somebody will?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, and some things, of course, don't change for publicity, depending on erotica. There's sites out there, which we're not going to get into too much right now, but authormarketingclub.com is a good place to promote your book for free. BookBub is probably the main place that most people use for book promotions. It's not free, and if you're just a beginning author, it's kind of difficult to get on there. But if you can get in there, I guess your success is kind of guaranteed. Don't be afraid to build up your mailing list. Again, this is not erotica-based. This goes with any kind of publishing. But companies like AWeber or MailChimp are very good for doing email lists. We've got our email list on our website, sexyfic.com. You go there, you sign up, and our blog will automatically send you updates to the blog. If we type a new article in there, you'll get it in your email. If we post a new listing of a book, you'll get it automatically. If we post a new episode of the podcast, you'll get it automatically. And we don't see your email address. We don't spam it. It's all sort of automatic. But generally, it's like one thing a week, and most people kind of enjoy that. Gets them notified that something new is coming along.
And be persistent about all these things. If you're a new author just getting into this, it'll take a while to build up a fan base and build up a network. Just gradually add some more followers every week. Try to get the word out a little more every week. And hopefully, probably, your sales will gradually creep up.
Yeah, when you start Twitter, you've got zero followers. You'll post a bunch of stuff, and by the end of the first week, you might have 2 followers. That's pretty discouraging. Same thing with Tumblr. 2 followers, 3 followers. And they're probably not going to buy anything anyway. But if you're consistently posting, regularly posting, I'm pretty sure when we put our first podcast out there, we had like 2 listeners that week. You and me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's grown consistently. You have to be consistent. Put stuff out there regularly, daily, weekly, whatever your schedule is. Keep it regular. Keep it dependable. And, okay, that's pretty much all we've got for you this time. If any of you have any suggestions about specific erotica-based marketing or promotional stuff, email them to us. We'll talk about them here on the show.
And subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or stop by sexyfic.com to get our notification list for new episodes.
And if you have a topic you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. We've changed our email contacts. If you've got the old emails, they're still good. They're fine. But just to catch either or both of us, send it to sexyfic@gmail.com. sexyfic@gmail.com. And this entire episode was based on Suzuki... What was her name?
Suzuki Sinclair.
Yeah, Suzuki Sinclair's email. So if you send a topic or a question, we may do a whole episode on that one. And that's it for this week.
One more thing. I just realized I mentioned my Tumblr, and I didn't tell you where my Tumblr is.
Where is your Tumblr?
It's not under HK Kiting, although HK Kiting is the name I use there. It is Loving Air, L-O-V-I-N-G-A-I-R, lovingair.tumblr.com.
And I'm not big on following my own advice, because I am very inconsistent with my Tumblr account, but it's Sexy Fic. Easy to find.
Yes, it is.
Okay, see you next week.
See ya.